This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com. You are about to listen to the Dr. Dahlia Show. Sassy, stimulating medical talk radio. Any medical advice Dr. Dahlia Wax gives on her show should not be substituted for an actual visit to your medical provider. And now, here's Dr. Dahlia.
Doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
All right, guys, we are back at the Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOCDALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. Big shout out to the Dodgers who won the World Series. So proud of them. I know it was a short season, but, you know, I'm from L.A. Good thing to finally see, you know, you guys won a World Series. I'm pretty happy about that. Go Dodgers. But we got a lot to talk about today, and one issue that's been really stirring up a lot of controversy is the idea of some governors deciding to hold off, and that's a wrong term. I don't think they're going to hold off, but some governors, shall we say, choosing to not trust the federal government's thumbs up and endorsement of a vaccine. They're going to kind of choose it themselves, or they're going to run a task force themselves. Governor Newsom in California has said he would do such that Governor Sisolak in Nevada is going to join forces, I believe, with Oregon and California. I believe New York, Governor Cuomo is going to assess the COVID vaccine on their own, you know, per their terms. And I mean, there's pros and cons to both of that. Okay, now, you know, I always put myself in the shoes of the governor, because I got to admit, you know, Republican governors, Democrat governors, it's not an easy time. I would not want to be in politics. In fact, I mean, think about it. Okay, you're going to be getting a vaccine, and you're not going to be getting enough doses. You're going to be getting maybe, let's say America gets 40 million, right, and they divide it up into the states equally. You know, you might get, you know, actually they wouldn't divide it equally, because the states have different populations. So, you know, you're going to get a certain amount of vaccines, and you're going to have to probably give it twice. You're going to have proper storage, and then you're going to have to pick and choose who gets it. And so when you say, all right, well, just give it to the first responders and the people in need of the high risk, well, I mean, a third of the country has high blood pressure or diabetes or obesity, you know, so, you know, it's on you. I mean, being a politician is not very easy. Now, if I was governor, okay, and maybe it's because I'm a physician, I would want to micromanage when it comes to this. Because if you're in my state and I am going to urge you to vaccinate, or, you know, get an injection into your body, it's on me. So I get how the governors are like, look, okay, this is on me. I don't get the whole political drama, right? You know, if they're doing it because, well, we don't like Trump, we don't trust Trump, which is what some of the governors have said. And they said, look, you know, Trump is so impulsive, and he was on steroids, and he doesn't know what he's doing, and he's trying to rush this for the election, so we're going to do our own research. Okay, if they're doing it for that reason, or doing it out of spite, or what is that phrase, cutting off your nose to spite your face, they're going to be in trouble. I mean, you know, you do not want to delay giving people a vaccine that works. You don't want that to be on you. If we have a vaccine that works, if it's gone through the FDA process, if, you know, it hasn't really been, you know, identified to be, you know, a huge risk to people, or any sort of risk to people, and then you're going to kind of hold off going, nah, we need to figure this out ourselves. You could be in a crap load of trouble as a governor. Okay, you can't be putting that kind of stuff off because of your, you know, political morals. And you know, but if the governors are, look, this is on me, and I, you know, I am not going to, you know, have anybody in my state have some sort of, you know, reaction to it, and then it be on me, I'm going to make sure that I give my Californians or Oregonians or Nevadans, you know, something safe, I get that. But what I hope is happening is that all these governors choosing to do their own task force and to make their own decisions, I hope they're starting to work now. I would not suggest anybody wait until we have, let's say, AstraZeneca's or Johnson & Johnson's or BioNTech or Pfizer's or Moderna or whoever's vaccine is ready to go. I would not suggest that by the time President Trump goes, okay, guys, we got the millions of shots, we're going to, you know, we're going to disperse them, that's when they go, okay, well, now, you know what, we're going to do our own reviews. Okay, I mean, if that happens, unfortunately, then we're looking at that's just going to be an absolute huge mess. 1-877-DOCADALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. So I want to ask you guys, do you think the governor should wait? Actually, you know what, let me get this back on Facebook Live so we could get your guys' opinion. So 1-877-DOCADALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. Do you want your particular governor to wait? Do you think that's a good move? And what if the governor's task force takes a month, takes 2 months, takes 3 months to decide, you know, if the shot is safe? Is that something you're comfortable with? 1-877-DOCDALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. So, you know, personally, I think it would be the biggest disaster in the world if the federal government decides to fast-track anything that isn't ready. I'm not fearful that much about the shot being risky. I don't really foresee that being an issue, because with all the trials that are going through, I mean, if there were side effects, or things, just like we saw with AstraZeneca, just like we saw with Johnson & Johnson, I mean, you know, they do a halt, they stop. Trust me, nobody wants that on their record. Nobody wants that on their stock portfolio. I don't foresee the government rushing a shot that's risky. What I see is a vaccine that gets rushed through that really doesn't work. You know, I want the safety profiles to be looked at. I understand why the Democratic governors are going to want to kind of do their own research, which I actually think is a good idea. I do. All right? I mean, you should do your own research. These are your constituents. It's on you. I would start doing it now, so that if the federal government does say, okay, we have a shot, you've already done your research, then you can say, okay, you know, we've looked at this company, we've looked at this research, all right, you know, maybe only delay it by 24 hours. But my biggest fear is the vaccine is not really going to provide long-lasting immunity. And because it's rushed, you're not able to identify how many months of immunity you have. Does that make sense? That's my big concern. 1-877-DOCDALI, 1-877-DOCDALI.
Hi, guys. Dr. Dahlia here. How many of you have kids or grandkids or students who have boo-boos? We all do. And sometimes we need to take care of the cut, the fever, the burn, the tummy ache before we get to a medical provider. Well, me and other physicians have created an easy guide called The Art of the Boo-Boo. The Art of the Boo-Boo helps you with easy bite-sized chapters and guides you through the most common issues infants and kids face. Get it on Amazon or on my website at drdahlia.com at a very low price. Give it to your teacher or family as gifts. The Art of the Boo-Boo. We make it easy. Hey, guys, gals. Dr. Dahlia here. How many of you have just become single and it's been years since you've dated? Well, you need to be careful out there, as there's a lot of pitfalls and scams. But there's also true love. So I recommend reading our Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. We'll give you the scoop on scammers, STDs, and what makes the best first date. Go to my website at drdahlia.com and click on the Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. That's drdahlia.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
After about a month of Extendovite, I don't know what it is about the circulation factor. I was able to increase the weight, increase the amount of sets I could do. It has to do with the oxygen getting to the blood. You should market this as an athletic performance. And I don't change anything about my diet or anything. I just thought, this is amazing. Bilberry extract has got something called resveratrol in it, which is the same stuff that you get from red wine. It's also good for eyesight. And I was reading that the Royal Air Force during World War II would give their pilots bilberry jam so they could have better night vision stuff. This is amazing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal Hair Care System is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Guys, we are back on the Dr. Dolly Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOCADOLLY, 1-877-DOCDALI. Big thanks to Genesis Communications Network for making the show happen. Big thanks to Daniel's working the dials. And big thanks to you all for tuning in. We really do appreciate it. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Dr. Dolly and on Facebook, the Dr. Dolly Show. So one thing I keep on hearing, kind of gives me the heebie-jeebies, is that somebody needs to do something with the news and censor it. That we need to, shall we say, control the news. Now, I get that we have fake news. I get that we have, I'm looking at the headlines now. You know, Biden has a 17-point lead over Trump in Wisconsin. A 17-point lead. Is that really true, or is that an opinion? Is that a poll that I mean, we're seeing this all the time. We're seeing, you know, people are back and forth on Hunter Biden and Trump's taxes, and, you know, And so when I hear somebody wants to control the news, all right, you're not going to get me to support that. I want to do something about fake news. I want to maybe identify certain sources as opinion or editorial, but you are not going to get my support for having government-run news organizations. Okay, I'm not going to be a fan of that because we know that governments can be, shall we say, not the most ethical. And governments, like we've seen already currently throughout the world, will not control it in our best interest. And with freedom of speech, once you get the government involved, in our media, it's an issue. But the argument is being made that the government's already involved, that we already have outside influences with our media. So I live in Nevada. And one thing that's very, very interesting is we have two major papers. We have the Review Journal and we have the Sun. The Review Journal, I believe, is now owned by, it's been owned for about a couple of years, by Sheldon Adelson. Sheldon Adelson, who owns the Sands Corp., very nice guy. He and his wife, I love them, very, very, very nice couple. But they took over the Las Vegas Review Journal, and they are conservative, obviously, donating money to Trump and the PAC, etc. You have the Las Vegas Sun that comes out with a whole list of endorsements, and again, all Democrat. So papers do this. Newspapers will endorse candidates, and they'll come out and they'll say, this is who we endorse. And that I have an issue with, whether it's Republican or Democrat, because I thought you were supposed to be the news. See, the news implies neutral. And then when you go on websites, you see ads, and you see, ads that seem to be more politically swaying. Well, okay, I thought if we're going to go to the news, okay, this isn't going to be an editorial piece. This isn't going to be an opinion piece. This isn't going to be an advertisement. You don't go to news for advertisements. You go to news because, look, I want to know what the weather is. I want to know what's happening with Hurricane Zelda. I want to know what the poll numbers are. And unfortunately, the news has changed. Unfortunately, the news is opinion and entertainment and headlines. How do you get somebody to read your paper? Well, you need a big, snazzy headline. And when you do a snazzy headline, it's not going to be the boring temperatures at 52 degrees. Okay, for Nevada, it's going to be like, gosh, temperature is going near freezing. Okay, well, that's an opinion. So this is why there's calls for people to say, okay, look, we need to do something. People are picking up a newspaper, and it's telling them who to vote for. That's not news. Right? People are owning newspapers, or they're having financial interests, and then there could be leanings, or people could feel compelled that they have to report news a certain way. So my show, is my show news? No, my show is news and opinion. When I got on air back in 2009, I was supposed to answer your medical questions. Now, if I'm a family physician, I practice medicine maybe a little different than an internal medicine doctor. If I'm an MD, and I am, I might practice a little differently than a chiropractor or a DO. And so you are getting my opinion, even though my opinion might be standard of care. We're not going to want you to drink alcohol when, you're pregnant. However, that's debatable. In Europe, they're like, what's the big deal? Let them have a drink or two. So, you see, there's always opinion. So, if we're having an issue where we're looking at polls, where one poll says Trump is winning, another poll says Biden has a 17-point lead, nobody trusts the news anymore. Now, every now and then you get a new station saying, okay, we're going to be fair and balanced, or we're just going to be the news, or we're just going to. And then what happens is they probably notice they don't sell. Right? And then what do they cover? So Tucker Carlson interviewed I don't know if we want to call him a key witness, a person in the center of the Hunter Biden, Joe Biden, Jim Biden controversy. And so most of his show last night was on that. Now, that might have been facts. Maybe it was facts. Maybe it wasn't. But the fact that they chose to cover that as opposed to the weather or the hurricane or a car accident on the 5, that there's already that leaning. So my question to you guys is, how do we do news that's unadulterated, that's unopinionated? Or do we need to, whether it's Facebook or Twitter or news, do we need to just kind of have a disclaimer out there saying, guys, a lot of these are opinions. These are editorials. You know, it's interesting because with papers, you will have the editorial section or a letter to the editor or opinion, and it'll say opinion. And it says it on top. I think there were some rules or regulations on how news does get done. And again, I don't want government, you know, involved. I want less rules. I don't like, you know, I'm kind of more libertarian that way, you know, kind of get the hell out of our business. But you cannot say that you're a source of news, you know, and then just, you know, try to sway people politically or only cover certain things or twist things that people say. And so the problem we have right now is people are finding their own sources of news. And you don't have everybody obviously on the same page, which is good. I don't want everybody thinking the same. We're not robots. But when people hear of a story, they hear of 7 different views of it. You know, I mean, you know, when I was asked about President Trump and what happened with him with his hospital course, you had some people saying, I heard he was on a ventilator. You had others say, I heard he faked it. You had others, and I go, where are you getting this? They go, it was in the news. You're like, okay, that's not news. News is very factual, and it's also very uninteresting. So if we were going to report the news on President Trump, let's say, going to the hospital for COVID, then it would basically sound like this. President Donald Trump tested positive for COVID. His team decided to admit him to Walter Reed Medical Center. That's it. Instead, people are like, well, that doesn't sell. We can't sell advertisers. We can't, you know, we can't make anything happen. So it's like, well, what is he getting? And why is he getting it? What, you know, and then, you know, and mind you, I think, you know, the country does want to know if the president is coherent and if the president is able to still fulfill his duties. But then in the news, it'd be like, the president is talking. The president is alert, stable. I mean, just really dry, non-opinionated words. So the next problem is, well, advertisers. Anybody who's a journalist is like, well, Dr. Dahlia, okay, I get you with, you know, we don't want lobbyists, let's say, you know, twisting the arm of politicians, just like we don't want advertisers twisting the arm of news. Any of the advertisers in my network, GCN Network, they don't touch the shows. They don't, you know, ask us to cover something or no. I mean, you know, our shows are our shows. And I think news networks then have to make sure they have that cloak or that shield such that, you know, advertisers don't have that pull. But it might be an indirect pull. The advertisers might be like, well, you know what, we want to advertise on MSNBC because you guys rip on Trump. Or we want to advertise on Fox because you guys protect Trump. So the problem is media outlets, we can't do our show without there being advertisers. And so there needs to be then another means where news gets to still stay solvent, still, you know, but we also don't want the government infusing money into the news because then again, they have control. So I don't know what the answer is. 1-877-DOCTOR-DAHLIA, don't go away.
Are you ready for what's next? It's likely coming. More food shortages, power outages, grocery stores closed, social unrest. Ask yourself, do you have enough food and supplies on hand to last at least 30 days? Most Americans do not. But you can. Avoid the panic of the last-minute rush. Order your 4-week supply of emergency food today from MyPatriotSupply.com. Starvation or dependency on the government are your only alternatives. Avoid those and the pain of being unprepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. Build your emergency food supply with meals that last up to 25 years in storage, shipped discreetly to your door. Folks that know what's coming are using today to prepare. There's time for you to do the same. That's MyPatriotSupply.com, the original Patriot Preparedness Company. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden spending the final days of the campaign in Delaware. The former vice president delivering remarks virtually later today. Meanwhile, President Trump will be holding 2 campaign rallies in Arizona. Twitter, Facebook, and Google CEOs are testifying at a Republican-led Senate Commerce Committee hearing on Capitol Hill. Things getting a bit heated when Senator Ted Cruz got his chance to question Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey.
Mr. Dorsey, who the hell elected you and put you in charge of what the media are allowed to report and what the American people are allowed to hear? And why do you persist in behaving as a Democratic super PAC, silencing news to the contrary of your political beliefs?
We will continue to monitor that hearing. You're listening to USA Radio News. The Justice Department is charging 8 alleged Chinese agents over covert operations within U.S. borders.
China describes Fox Hunt as an international anti-corruption campaign in which it seeks to locate legitimate fugitives around the world to bring them back for trial in China.
Assistant Attorney General John Demers telling reporters in Washington, D.C. that 5 of the suspects were arrested in the United States and 3 are believed to be in China. Hurricane Zeta is gaining strength. The National Weather Service says a Category 1 storm's maximum sustained winds have increased to 90 miles an hour as it barrels towards the Gulf Coast. Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards saying the storm won't be bringing much rain, but will be bringing wind.
That's damage to homes, businesses, but also to infrastructure and including our electrical system.
The Democrat governor saying the storm is expected to hit New Orleans later today. USA Radio News.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Dr. Dolly, you show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DOLLY, 1-877-DOCDALI. So when we were talking about marijuana, and we were talking about one of the first FDA-approved drugs when it came to seizures and epilepsy, we spoke about Dravet syndrome. Many times in the news they call it Dravet, but it's pronounced Dravet. And Dravet is so rare, and it's actually pretty complicated. And many of you have kind of had asked questions about why Dravet, and you know, why was that, you know, a source of focus when it came to us getting FDA approval on Epidiolex. Well, here to join us is Mary Ann Meskis, Executive Director for Dravet Syndrome Foundation. Mary Ann, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
That's great, great. So explain to my listeners, November is National Epilepsy Awareness Month, so we really appreciate all the work that you and your team do. Explain to my listeners what epilepsy is, and then Dravet and its relationship, obviously.
Sure. So I think many people may know epilepsy itself is not rare, and 1 in 26 people in their lifetime will have a seizure. And so, you know, if you have one or more seizures, you'll typically be considered to have that diagnosis of epilepsy. Most of the time, those can be treated. There are a lot of medications on the market that help patients with more general epilepsy live a more typical life, so they can have a job or go to college, start a family. But then there's this subgroup of these rare lifelong forms of epilepsy that are especially devastating, and Dravet syndrome is one of those. It starts in infancy, so our patients typically have their first seizure before their first birthday. A unique earmark of this syndrome is that first seizure is often prolonged, and so most seizures will resolve on their own in a minute or so. Our patients can sometimes seize for an hour or more, and it necessitates emergency medical intervention to get them stopped. Then over time, these seizures progressively worsen. Our patients have frequent hospitalizations, and then as they get a little bit older, there's significant cognitive and developmental delays that appear, and there's also an increased risk of death for our population. So these patients are never going to live independently or attend college or hold a job.
It's, you know, it's so frightening when you hear that some children can seize for over an hour. You know, basically, to put it in layman terms, because neurology is very complex, and you all know the grades I got in medical school, so we're not going to go into that. But it's the electrical currents in the brain that control so many of, obviously, of our functions. And when those electrical currents don't work correctly, or there's misfirings, the brain can't work, and it could affect very, very crucial steps in our living, obviously, like our breathing, our heart rate, our movements, etc. And so when somebody goes through an hour-long seizure, their risk of death just increases exponentially.
That's right.
With the Dravet syndrome, when you had said 1 in 26, 1 in 26 people will have a seizure in their lifetime, how common is Dravet?
So it is considered a rare disease, and we have an incident estimate of between 1 in 15,700 to 1 in 20,900 live births. Those babies will have Dravet syndrome. We estimate based on that there are probably about 6,000 children and adults who are living with Dravet syndrome right now in the U.S.
Wow. Now, the Dravet Syndrome Foundation, I'm glad you guys exist, and with a lot of the work you do, explain to our listeners what you do.
Sure. So we were started in 2009, and myself and some other families came together. We had received diagnoses for our children, but then it was frustrating to turn and look and see that there was no set treatment protocol. There were very limited treatment options. There was no research being done in the area. And so for us, it really became a form of empowerment to try to do something to help not only our children, but those who would come after. In the beginning, it was just 4 families, and we set at that time what we thought was a large goal of trying to raise $100,000 to fund a research grant. And then after that took off, our other families, when they got the diagnosis and found us, had that same feeling that they needed to do something. And so thanks to that community effort, and it's really just a patient voice driving this, we've been able to award almost $5 million in research grant awards, as well as to work with industry to help bring some new treatments to market.
See, that's fantastic. And, you know, people don't understand, when a child does have seizures, it's a very expensive workup, EEGs, MRIs. Can you describe what is the process of the workup to identify a child with Dravet?
I think, you know, for a lot of our families, sometimes it can be a longer diagnostic journey because in the beginning, even after these prolonged seizures, when the children wake up or recover, they're back to their baseline, and sometimes they're dismissed as being a febrile seizure, which is a seizure that's associated with the fever. And that type of seizure, children will usually outgrow. It's once the seizures become more frequent and they start to see multiple seizure types that they'll do frequent workups, including EEGs, MRIs, a lot of blood work. One of the things that makes Dravet a little more difficult is in the early days, the EEGs and MRIs will look normal, and then they'll start to see changes when the children are closer to 3 or 4. Fortunately, genetic testing has significantly in price. So now if you are at a leading pediatric epilepsy center and you have a child that's presenting with, you know, a unique seizure type, such as these prolonged seizures, chances are the neurologist is going to order a genetic epilepsy panel to try to track down a diagnosis for families.
Fantastic. We're speaking to Marianne Meskis, Executive Director of Dravet Syndrome Foundation. So talk to us about some of the treatments for Dravet.
So we have been really fortunate. As a rare disease, you know, frequently there's no treatment options available. And in the last few years, we've had three that received FDA approval with an indication for Dravet syndrome. There's still not a single treatment that works for every patient. So it's really important for us to have as many options available as possible. One of the newer ones, for instance, is the purified cannabidiol, which you referenced earlier. And then in June of this year, fenfluramine also came to market. You know, for our patients, the seizure control is so difficult to achieve. They take multiple medications multiple times a day. And what we always try to focus on is reducing that seizure frequency as that first step in treating Dravet syndrome. And so we're hopeful with these new treatment options, our patients will have better quality of life and better outcome overall.
So, Marianne, what is so fascinating about your foundation and Dravet syndrome is Epidiolex and the FDA indication approval for it. What was so miraculous or kind of interesting about that is there was anecdotal evidence that marijuana could help children with seizures. And we hear about anecdotal evidence all the time, and, you know, some of it we believe, some of it we don't. What happened from social media sharing of, look, I am seeing cannabis work on my child with Dravet syndrome, to it, to the FDA listening, or to a pharmaceutical company making the Epidiolex, and then how was the Dravet Syndrome Foundation involved in all that?
I think we have to give a lot of credit to for Epidiolex to British Biosciences, because they did receive some of that feedback from patients that they were seeing evidence of efficacy in cannabidiol for their child, but they had developed this product that it was a strain that they consistent, which is sometimes a problem with artisanal medical marijuana, is that the levels of THC will vary from dose to dose. And so when they were looking at moving this forward, they came to us, and what DSF could provide to them is we have a very connected patient community. And so we could notify our patients of these clinical trials. We could have families participate in advisory panels to give feedback on what, you know, what was important to them as secondary endpoints. And that was really kind of our role in helping to bring that together. So if you can imagine, it's really this unified stakeholder community that is each doing their part.
Well, gosh, it's amazing. Marianne, how can more people find information on the Dravet Syndrome Foundation?
Please come visit our website. It's DravetFoundation.org, and there's information there, of course, for families as well as efficacy tools, but we would love the general public to be more aware of it and to help us spread awareness. So thank you.
Well, thank you and your team for all you do. God bless, and we'll speak to you soon.
Great. Take care.
All right, guys, don't go away. We'll be right back. 1-877-DOC-DOLLY.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay Heating Wraps and Pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Hey guys, Dr. Dahlia here. We love our drivers out there, and many of you are in need of renewing your CDL. Well, if you're in Southern Nevada, we've got the place for you. Your DOT physical can be done,
by calling 702-562-8800 and mention this ad. You'll get a discount. Easy, convenient hours to get you back on the road. So for your CDL DOT physical, call 702-562-8800 and drive safely. Hi, guys. Dr. Dahlia here. How many of you have kids or grandkids or students who have boo-boos? We all do. And sometimes we need to take care of the cut, the fever, the burn, the tummy ache before we get to a medical provider. Well, me and other physicians have created an easy guide called The Art of the Boo-Boo. The Art of the Boo-Boo helps you with easy bite-sized chapters and guides you through the most common issues infants and kids face. Get it on Amazon or on my website at drdahlia.com at a very low price. Give it to your teacher or family as gifts. The Art of the Boo-Boo. We make it easy.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com. Or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Go to GCNteam.com or call 855-GCN-MALL. That's 855-426-6255. GCNteam.com or 855-426-6255. Lose weight and look great with ASAP. As slim as possible.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's a clip from the Rachel Ray Show testing the results of Instantly Ageless.
Board certified dermatologist Dr. Whitney Bow.
If you're looking to try to trim back the cloth on a budget, you know, in the privacy of your own home, but actually there's some recent technologies emerging, almost like changes the behavior of the skin while it sits on the skin.
She went off to try a product called Instantly Ageless.
Yeah.
Instantly, you could see a difference. Even the cameraman were like, wow, look at the difference.
Yeah.
But I would definitely use this product.
This product, within minutes of applying it, it was actually a very dramatic rejuvenation.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
All right, guys, you're back on Dr. Dahlia's show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. So we have some good news and we have some bad news. So the bad news is hospitals are starting to fill to capacity in certain states, and COVID cases are spiking and on the rise in multiple states. The good news is the death rate isn't anywhere near like it was. In fact, CNN even reported this, that the COVID-19 deaths are not rising as fast in Europe and U.S., even though there are, quote-unquote, soaring new infections. I credit the less deadliness to a couple things. One is the virus supposedly is mutated to a less fatal form, highly infectious, but less fatal.
And I also credit it to us not being in flu and pneumonia season over the summer. And I still believe a lot of the deaths and the death toll were numbers that were mixed and blended. Or people had COVID on top of their pneumonia or flu or heart attack or stroke. So we're now coming back into a new flu season and pneumonia season. And I don't know if anybody learned their lesson from the last spring or last winter. But we're going to, unfortunately, be told any day now that the death rate is rising again. And I mean, if you put this information, right, in front of a grade schooler and said, look, people died in January, February, March, maybe April, May. We had less deaths in the summer. We're now in October. The kid's going to be like, maybe when we're coming into winter, people are going to be dying again. Okay? Why? Does COVID just miraculously turn more deadly because of your calendar? Or is it because there's other co-infections going on or comorbidities that are causing people who have COVID to have a worse outcome? And somebody needs to identify those. Now, we have been told that people with high blood pressure have issues. People who have diabetes, people with underlying heart issues are going to be more at risk. So we've said that. Unfortunately, though, we still haven't, with our headlines, filtered that out. And I'm still getting messages from people going, oh my gosh, cases, I'm scared and I'm worried. I'm like, guys, come on. Okay, listen, I get that COVID was scary. But, why wasn't anybody scared 2 years ago when flu and pneumonia were killing people? Or the year before that? I mean, every winter I'm interviewed by a news station on the Christmas coronary because heart attacks spike around Christmas time. Why isn't everybody scared about that? So, I really get bothered by the inconsistency and the misinformation that's out there. So now we're faced with the decision, do kids go back to school? And this is very, very tricky for school boards and for governors. Because if they have been under the, shall we say, pretense that COVID is so, so dangerous that you have to be locked down, you can't have kids be a Trojan horse and bring COVID back to the family, then they have just locked themselves in to every single year keeping kids at home. Because if they're going to base death rates and hospitalizations on COVID or lack of control of COVID, these kids are never going to go back to school. Now, people will say, look, but with COVID, if a kid is coughing, kids coughed last year, the start of school, kids have had, I think back in 1932, there was a kid that went to school with cough, kids cough. Well, fever. If they have a fever, they shouldn't be in school. I agree. If they have a fever, they shouldn't be in school. But every single kid that got the flu last year that lived went back to school in a couple days. So I think a lot of governors and school officials and school boards are kind of going, okay, wait a second here. COVID didn't go away. We caused this lockdown. We caused this shutdown. And if COVID is here to stay, and we can't really rely on the vaccine because the kids aren't really going to get the vaccine until 2022 anyway, assuming they're even going to sit still to get it, they now have to make a decision. Do we double down and say, yeah, COVID's too dangerous, but keep the kids out of school? Or do they go, no, the kids could go back to school? And once they do that, they're almost kind of giving in, going, yeah, maybe we overreacted. Now, I will support any of the governors, Republican, Democrat combined. I will support any decisions they made temporarily when this first happened. I will support the decisions they had on teachers didn't want to be there at school. Teachers were scared. Hospitals were scared. We didn't know what was going on. They wanted to protect the public. Let's let the kids go home. The parents don't want to bring their kids to school anyway. All right? So I will support our governors in them saying, look, we're going to play it safe. I get that. But now we're faced with the decision of a lot of kids, they haven't been in school now since last March. Now, I have a senior in high school. I mean, he's feeling it. Now, seniors in high school don't necessarily need to relearn algebra. Okay? They don't need to necessarily relearn grammar. So a senior in high school, even though it's a senior year and all that, you know, I feel like we're kind of lucky because my kid's a senior, being home, doing virtual, he's missing out on a lot. But in terms of the growth curve and the learning curve, I think he'll catch stuff up in college, assuming he's going to be ready for college now. What I worry about is the 7-year-old or the 5-year-old or the 10-year-old. Okay, being out of school for 6-7 months, okay, we're starting to do some long-term damage, I believe. Yet, I've been asked, all right, so should kids go back to school? Well, the American Academy of Pediatrics has supported kids going back to school. Most doctors, most parents are like, kids need to be around other kids. Kids need to boost their immune system. Kids can't be living in a bubble. But here's the only caveat. Here's the only problem. I cannot, as a doctor, and I don't think any doctors can say the kids could go back to school because we don't know enough about this virus. All right, when I heard that the virus is living in corneas of cadavers and it isn't dying off within the 4 or 5 days that up to 10 days that the average cold virus dies off on, we might be looking at a virus similar, and we talked about the dumb viruses versus the smart viruses for the super smart viruses. The dumb viruses are like the rhinoviruses or the cold coronaviruses that, you know, they infect your nose, infect your nasal passages, so you could cough it right back out. You maybe get sick for a few days, and then you just go back to living, and the virus dies off on its own. The super-duper smart viruses like the HIV, where they kind of attack, you know, without you even knowing, and they kind of get into your body when you're doing fun stuff, and then, or, you know, blood transfusion or drugs or whatever, and then it decides to attack the one cell that could kill it. That's the cell it decides to attack. So the HIV is one of the super smartest viruses. The medium smart viruses are your hepatitis, or your varicella, your and again, this is opinion, not news. I think they're smart. Your chickenpox virus, where you get it, but it lives in your body. It's not going anywhere, herpes. It'll live in your body. It'll stay there. So if this new coronavirus, this SARS-CoV-2, is one of those, I'm going to live in your body, now what? Is it going to cause cancer? Is it causing hearing loss? And some people claiming they now need hearing aids. Is it causing diabetes? We've had a couple people say that they were never diabetic, and now that they got COVID, they're now diabetic. We're talking insulin-dependent diabetic. So we're not ready to say we know enough about this virus. And I get it. People are on my Facebook feed all the time going, look, there's overhype. I agree with everything everybody's saying. I agree that it could be dangerous. I also agree that there's a lot of hype. But where I stand is we still don't know enough about this. And I don't know how much longer a kid should be out of school. So we're going to have to figure something out. We're up on break. 1-877-DOC-DOLLY. Don't go away.
At 58 years of age, I noticed a dramatic energy decline. After a 5-day work week, I had to use one of my days off to rest and recover. I also had cut my gym visits down from 3 times a week to 1 a week. Since I began using Green Meadow Whey, my energy level has greatly improved. I no longer have to take a day to recover. I have increased my gym visits back to 3 times a week. I'm actually more active and feeling better now than I have in the last 5 years. It's so nice to wake up in the morning feeling good and ready to go. Before trying Green Meadow Whey, I must have tried every whey protein product on the market, and every one of them caused me bloating, gas, and constipation. I've had no such issues with Green Meadow Whey. In fact, I'm sleeping better, my vision has improved, and surprisingly, my emotional and mental state has also improved. I love what Green Meadow Whey has done for me.
Green Meadow Whey comes from milk derived from grass-pastured cows. To order, call 888-988-3325 or visit greenmeadowwhey.com.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio. 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.